taking 6 months pass by all year watching.
Yes.
Let's pray and then we'll sing. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity. And I pray that you would bless this time in your house this evening. You know each and every one of our needs, Lord, and I pray that you would minister to them and tend to them tonight. So thank you for loving us. Thank you, Lord, for drawing us and for saving us. And I pray, Father, that you would be our friend and our companion tonight. Please give us this day our daily bread. Not just ourselves, Lord, but our brothers and sisters across the world, wherever it is they might be. You know what we need, Lord. Please supply those needs. We just want to pray specifically, Lord, for our country at this moment in time, and for especially America at this moment in time, Lord, as things happen. And I pray that you would spare lives, but, Lord, that people's eyes would be open. Please bless and keep Israel. Please be with our absent brethren. If things come in, Lord, I pray you make it safely. Please look after Dr. Shang and Frank, for Colin and Kate, for Will and Christine and Marianne, for Stephen and Carol, for John McGowan and Catherine and Rebecca and Lauren and Sean, and for Pat and Steve as well, Lord. Please, I pray you, for each of our absent brethren, for loved ones that don't know you as Savior, and for our neighbours and our countrymen, Lord. Please save souls. In the meantime, Father, please accept our praises and let them be acceptable in your sight. We ask all this, Lord, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Right, I'm going to get my glasses on. And there we go. Suddenly everything's clear. That used to be the Coca-Cola ad, wasn't it? Suddenly everything's clear. Amen. Right, number 13, we're starting with in the wee book. Number 13 is that the old favourite guy in the old great Jehovah. Yeah. 127. It's Nearer My God to Thee. If you're fit, folks, we'll stand as we sing. But, amen. It always reminds me of singing as a child.
This reading is from 1 Timothy chapter 4. First Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to receive the thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Refuse profane and old wise fables, and exercise thyself well unto godliness. For bodily exercise profits little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promised the life that now is, of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Saviour of all men, especially for those that believe. These things command and teach, that no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thine, is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Amen.
Good verses there. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to the spirits and doctrine of devils. And a good few other ones there as well. Amen. Appreciate that. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add to our prayer list? Any prayer requests that they'd like to, or any thanks, anything at all? Yes, Mrs. Bradford.
Ed Bissett's test showed that he has no cancer.
Remember Ed Bissett that we were praying for about the bladder cancer? His last checkup, which was earlier this week, was it yesterday? Showed that there was no sign of any cancer in his bladder. So he still has another 6 months, I think, of treatment. So please do continue to pray for him, but everything seems to be going well. Anything else? Any more for any more? Grand job. Well, private prayer request? Any private? 1, 2, 3, 4. We'll have a word of prayer, and then we'll sing another song or two. So let's close our eyes and bow our heads. Amen. Dear loving Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you again, Lord. You know there's a lot going on in the world right now, and I'm sure a lot of it comprises our prayer requests and things like that as well, because many of them have so many far-reaching consequences. And I pray, Lord, at this time that you would first of all, work in our hearts and minds, and let us not worry and fear and fret as many others do, because we have you as our Saviour and our Father and our friend and our intercessor and our King and our great High Priest, all of which, Lord, nobody can take away from us, no matter what our situation is. Please, Lord, I pray, don't be done with us, and Lord, help us, Lord, to be your good sons and daughters. We pray, Lord, for our brethren that aren't here tonight, wherever they are, pray your good hand upon them. For those that have been and gone, Lord, I pray that you would draw them back to fellowship and to service and to obedience. For those, Lord, that have gone on to, Lord, that have stepped down, please help them to step up again. Not just here, Lord, but right the way across the world. I know there is a great temptation, Lord, to go the way of the world for a bit of peace and quiet and to seemingly, Lord, get some of what's going around just like everybody else seems to do. I know also that you said, Lord, not to fret ourselves because of evildoers or seem to prosper because of the devices that they bring to pass. And let us remember that. Lord, we pray for our country. It's in dark straits and it's not getting any better. I pray you, Lord, for some soul to step in and to steer us the right way. If you would, Lord. Same for America. I pray you, Lord, for everything that's going on there. It's quite literally turning into the Wild West. I pray you, Lord, for everybody that's over in America, and especially those, Lord, that are, walking the corridors of power. I pray that you would oppose those that hate you and your people, Lord, at every turn, and bless those that love you and your people, Lord, in any which way you can. Same here, Lord, the same across the world. Please help us. Thank you, Lord, indeed, for Ed Bishop being clear of cancer and for those many answered prayers that have been lifted up. Pray for Joan and for the ablation of her heart. I just pray you, please, Lord, that you would help her with that issue as well. For Norman and his ear, for Will and his ear, I pray you, Lord, for all the difficulties that we're having in the world. I know some of them, Lord, we just need to knuckle to and bear with it. Just smile and go on. We know, Lord, too, that there are helps along the way. And we know, Lord, that you're the Father of lights and you want to give us all good gifts. And, Lord, we'll accept any that will make life a bit easier or the path a bit straighter. And help us, Lord, this day to be faithful whenever it comes to representing you in the world. Speaking up, standing up, asking questions, Lord, pointing finger, whatever needs to be done, Lord, that we can make you proud, Lord. Make you glad that you saved us and not sad that you saved us. I do pray, Lord, for our private prayer requests. You know what they are. And I pray, Lord, for all of the brethren's private prayer requests. Please grant them according to your will. And for our church families across the world, for Stan up in Bangor, for the folks in Temple Patrick, Lord, in Claddy Water, for Black Creek and Grace Bible over there in the States and many other churches that have folks that love you and want to serve you. Please bless and honor them and strengthen, Lord, especially in these last of the last days. And help us always to remember, Lord, to keep our eyes upon you. Thank you for loving us and everything that you've done for us, Lord. And we pray all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, and according to your will. Amen. Amen. We're in the wee hymn books again. Did we pick one out of the big hymn book?
No. Unless you pick
one. I picked one out of the big hymn book. Let's go to the big hymn book, sorry. 160 is Crown Him with Many Crowns. This is not a strange one to us. I hope it maybe brings back some old memories. Crown Him with Many Crowns. We'll remain seated as we sing.
Many crowns, the Lamb upon
We're switching books again, back to the wee black book. I think it's number 38, was it? How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. This is another old one that reminds me a little bit of my primary school and singing all the songs in the assembly room, assembly hall. Let's stand as we sing How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. Amen. Six verses. Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah. Jeremiah 10. Let's read the first 16 verses and then let's hear a few things about us and them. This is the word of God. Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. They are upright as the palm tree, but speak not. They must needs be born because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil. Neither also is it in them to do good. For as much as there is none like unto thee, O Lord, thou art great, and thy name is great and mighty. Who would not fear thee, O King of nations? For to thee doth it appertain, for as much as among all the wise men of the nations and in all their kingdoms, there is none like unto thee. But they are altogether brutish and foolish. The stock is a doctrine of vanities. Silver spread as the plates is brought from Tarshish, and gold from Euphrates, the work of the workman and of the hands of the founder. Blue and purple is their clothing. They are all the work of cunning men. But the Lord is the true God. He is the living God and an everlasting King. At his wrath the earth shall tremble, and the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. What shall we say unto them? The gods that have not made the heavens and the earth, even they shall perish from the earth and from under the heavens. He hath made the earth by his power, he hath established the world by his wisdom, and hath stretched out the heavens by his discretion. When he uttereth his voice, there is a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapours to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings with rain, and bringeth forth the wind out of his treasure. Every man is brutish in his knowledge. Every founder is confounded by the graven image, for his molten image is falsehood, and there's no breath in them. They are vanity and the work of errors. In the time of their visitation, they shall perish. The portion of Jacob is not like them, for he is the former of all things, and Israel is the rod of his inheritance. The Lord of hosts is his name. That's where we're stopping. Talking a little bit about us and them, and we're reading in Jeremiah 10. Let's have a quick prayer, and then we will continue. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be here this evening. Please bless the reading and the hearing and the teaching and preaching and all the praises and prayers and everything that have taken place here this evening, Lord. And we pray for your will to be done in all of our hearts and minds. Lord, we'd love for all the seats to be filled up. And I pray for all the souls who could and should be here, Lord. And Lord, for your will to be done. Be with us, Lord, and help us to understand and to learn and grow from this portion of your word. We love you and thank you. Amen. 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 Jeremiah chapter 10. I know we spent quite a lot of time in Jeremiah over earlier on in the year, and I just had my bookmark in here, and I've been reading along through Jeremiah again, and I came across this excellent dozen and a half verses that we've had a look at, and thought, you know, I would like to read this and maybe think on it and give you a few thoughts and maybe even provoke you to think about a few things yourself from this. Everything that goes on in the pulpit is not necessarily the lesson, but what you go home with and maybe you pray about, the Lord says, did you ever think on such a thing? But anyway, I have to preface, before we get into this, with the heart behind Jeremiah. It's the word of the Lord that was given to Jeremiah regarding the people of God and the people around the people of God. And God has a great love for everybody. God wants everybody to be saved. And he says that over and over. He says in the Old Testament, I take no pleasure in the death of him that dieth. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, he says he would want all men to come to the understanding of repentance or the knowledge of repentance. That's what he wants. But he loves us that much and he respects us that much, he lets us choose. We can decide what to do with our lives. Jeremiah had a great love for God and a great love for God's people. And a great sorrow for the people as well, because we know as we read on and we have been studying through the books afterwards that a great judgment fell on God's people because they refused to listen to God's word and they refused to listen as God's word was preached. It's very sad when that happens. You can literally see people. It's like do you ever see any of those superhero movies where there's one called The Flash where everything seems to happen in slow motion around him whenever he's running like the hammers? Sometimes you can see that in people's lives whenever they depart from the word of God. And so Jeremiah tells them the things that are not convenient to tell. If I told you something that you got offended at but was absolutely true, as the Bible says, am I become your enemy because I tell you the truth? And of all of the things that people need to hear, not just in Bethel or Derry or Northern Ireland, but right the way across the world, it is that there is a God that loves every single soul. Because every single soul to God is precious. It's a light that will never go out. We are immortal, we are enduring, we are everlasting. However, where we shine will either be in on the streets of golden heaven for the endless ages of eternity, or in the blackest pits of hell and the lake of fire, in torment for the endless ages of eternity. But that's up to us. And people don't want to hear that, even though they really need to. Even as a Christian. I remember getting saved. I remember the day I was saved. I remember the walk home from the church whenever I got saved. I remember the weeks and the months that followed after that, and my desire to hoover up books of the Bible and talking to the Lord and writing stuff down. I remember all of that. But I remember too the day that I sat in the pulpit and the pews and listened to the preacher preach on how God had me in the palm of his hand like that, and nothing can pluck me out, nothing, not even my own stupid self. And the Father, God the Father, has me in the palm of his hand as well, and nothing can pluck me out of his hand. And that helped my life to change completely again. A closer walk with God, knowing that he had me in the palm of his hand. And to know that, and to want that for other people, and understanding that they can have that, means that you're not really going to worry too much what they think about you if you tell them that. Because that is the most important thing that people need to hear in this world today. They're loved by God. God has a spot for them in heaven. But you need to turn away from your sins. You need to repent of your sins and trust in Christ's work on the cross to save your soul. That's what people need to hear. But when you say that, they say, oh, that's a religion of hate. How is it? I just told you can go to heaven for free and forever. But when you love people and you do what's best for them, even if it's unpleasant, you do it. I don't know if you noticed when we were reading these verses, there were some verses that were quite plainly aimed at them. They and them. I was going to call it pronouns because God refers to, honestly, God refers to the heathens as they and them. That's like talking about people. See them over there. They do this. Isn't that what it's like, sounds like? Over there. Not us, but them. And there is very much a us and them in this portion of God's word. It starts off with a little bit of a tipping of the cap to the believer. And it says, believers shouldn't be dismayed or confused or made fearful by the things that's going on around about us. Because we have God as our Savior. We should be keeping our eyes on him. More so, and in our day, now bear in mind, this was about 2,500 years ago before all of the other prophecies that Christ gave us were written down, even though you can see a bit of them as we read through the Old Testament. We're looking back now, and 2,000 years ago, Jesus was talking about the verses that Norman read this evening. And not too far away, talking about religion, saying, oh, you're not allowed to get married. And someone said, is there any religion where you're not allowed to get married? Does anybody know of a religion where you're not allowed to get married? Priests aren't allowed to get married. Nuns aren't allowed to get married. Or you're not allowed to eat certain foods. Do you know of a religion like that? You don't know on a Friday you're not supposed to eat meat in the Catholic Church, isn't that right? Fish on Friday. And the Bible goes on to say that all of these things are made to be accepted by those that know, that understand. It's worth remembering. Was that Saturday or Friday? I can't remember. Friday. We shouldn't get dismayed. We should be certainly concerned for lost souls. But God already told us the way things were going to happen. God already said there would be persecution for Christians. God already said there would be a great falling away because of the sin that Christians countenance in their lives. God already said that the people would be weak and watery because a lot of the guys stand behind the pulpit are traitors. They look religious, but they don't actually tell people that God will save them completely and God will help them through this one if they'll do what God says. They won't say that. And a lot of people say, well, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And they chew their nails down to the quick and their blood pressure goes up and they get a couple of tablets from the doctor to feel better, but they're still dismayed deep down. The reason God tells us these things is because there is one way out of this mess, and that's when God comes for us. Either we go to him or he comes for us. That is the only way out in the palm of his hand, trusting in him as Savior. There is no salvation in this world. Many times the Bible preaches against that. It talks about the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh and the pride of life being the three big things. And they're all involved with here and now and the things of this world and thrills and stones. God says, don't be dismayed about it. Don't get confused. Don't get fearful. Look at me. And when you're watching God, a lot of the stuff that's around about you just ceases to matter or trouble you anymore. So keep your eyes on me, God said. And as soon as he's finished warning us, the believers, he says, consider them, for they go into the forest and they cut down a piece of wood and they overlay it with gold and silver and then they nail it to a platform. And then they bow down to it. It can't move. It's lips but can't speak. It's eyes that can't see. It's a nose that it can't breathe. There's no heart that beats in it. They make a god to themselves and actually have to carry it about. And the reason people like gods like that, there's a very good reason for it. It's because that god will let them do whatever they want. Did you ever think of that? I'll make me a wee god. I'll put him in the window and I'll rub his head or pat his tummy or put a couple of pounds in the wee box in front of him. I can go and do what I'm doing well, please. I can go out drinking, go out fighting, go out thieving, go out sneaking around the company and I'll just come back in and I'll rub his head and put a pound in the wee box in the front. That'll be grand. That's the God that a lot of people, that's why people worship idols. God says there's a very good reason for not making an idol. Because you made the idol. You have become the creator of a God that's smaller than you. But the real God of the Bible created us and he is so much bigger. You know something else that the real God has that these we ornaments don't. His standards, his judgment, his righteousness, his love and kindness towards us. He has a great book, and that book is protected by God. He has all of those things, and angels sent to help us out. Wisdom that can come our direction through the Holy Spirit for the Christian, because he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. We have got all of those things and more. Why would you want to walk past a statue that can't help you? Or that you don't even let into the house? Did you ever see the number of those wee Buddhas and Hindu statues that people don't even invite into the house? They leave them out in the garden. So much for their God. But it lends people an air of respect for God. They'll say, I do worship God. I do worship God. I am a believer. I'm sure they do worship a God, but it's not the God. Because the God that they worship, you think about all the devilment that goes on in the world today. You think about all the trouble and the desperately awful things that's going on. Their gods allow them to do that. So much for their gods. The God of the Bible is a whole different kettle of fish. He has rails to run on that will keep you and me right. As we read on, we read it doesn't bode well for people that are not worshipping the one true God. Their things come to an end. They don't even understand what's happening whenever they're going on in the world. They're living in fear. Their minds are half wrecked with all of the... They're believing this, what they saw on TV, and they're believing that, that they heard down at the grocery store, or the, something else that they read on Facebook or Twitter, and they're trying to make a belief system out of the, all these ingredients that they've pulled from everywhere and anywhere. And it's a great Irish stew. When you think about the modern day religions that people worship, this is the state the country is in now. From the people believing in those religions. It hasn't gotten better. Did you know the UK used to be pretty much the centre of missions in the world over the past couple of hundred years? Missionaries used to go all over the world from the UK. And now we have missionaries coming to the UK from all over the world. It's good that people do have a concern for us that we live over here, but the stuff that we believe now, this King Charles, the defender of many faiths, it's no good. It's useless, it's powerless, it's impotent. I'm going to tell you something. Back before I got saved, I was reading all sorts of books from all sorts of religion. And I read one on modern day Satanism. And you know what it said about modern day Christianity? It's powerless. There's no power in it. And that's absolutely true. You go to any of the churches, visit the people in the churches on a Sunday, and you see them sitting there with their suits on and their shiny shoes and their cars. But you go and visit them on a Saturday night and they'll be at a pub. Or a Friday night and they'll be spending a night of pleasure with a stranger. Or they'll be fiddling the books. Or they'll be telling lies. It's not my God. My God gives me the power to stand on the truth and say and do the right thing. And it's not pleasant at the start, but once you get pointed in the right direction, it works. And they're aided and abetted by the guys that stand behind the pulpit and say, oh, just do your best and God understands. God does understand, and he knows exactly what's going on in our hearts and minds. Great little verse in Revelation chapter 18. Because it also says something else about these false gods. Revelation 18, the last verse in Revelation 18 says, and in her was found the blood of the prophets and of the saints, and of all that were slain upon the earth. That's false religions for you. It's because of false religion that people's killing each other. And sadly, the Bible's full of examples of how the behavior of such souls, what it brings their way, consequences, not just eternal consequences, but physical consequences right now. The God that we worship made everything, including time, and he steps in and out of it just like you and I step in and out of a room. Even easier than that. He left us this book that has everything in it that we need. The very wisdom of God about us. Just a couple of books previous in Proverbs and Ecclesiastes. The wisdom of Solomon. All the prophecies that are scattered through the Word of God. So that no matter where you're reading for any length of time at all, you're going to come across a promise which God might actually be revealing today. And of course, his personal invitation to repent of your sins and live the life that God will help you live. From a God that loves you and knows what's best for each one of us. I know a lot of people think that we need to fit in, just want a quiet life. But I'm going to tell you what, Given into the world, the flesh and the devil means. It means tomorrow there will be less of you than there was today. And the day after that, there will be even less of you. Because the world, the flesh and the devil, and all the organizations that live within it, they never stop taking. They perceive the kindness and the patience of Christians as weakness, and they will step on your toes, and then they'll step on your foot, and then they'll stick their hand in your pocket and rob you blind. And they will push you further and further and further back until your back's against the wall and you can't go any further. And what do? You'll have given up so much. I'm not saying to take guns out and shoot people that are causing the bother, but I am saying Christians need to take a stand. We need to stand on the rock, which never moves. The rock doesn't retreat, and we shouldn't retreat off of it. We need to do as God tells us. But how will we ever be happy? I have done a little bit of thinking about happiness. I don't know if you remember, Alan Fox used to say, happiness comes from happenings. Whenever things happen for you, that's happiness. Oh, I got what I wanted. I got surprised. I got this. I got that. I got something else. And for a little while, that feeling persists. For a little while. But eventually, it disappears again. Somebody said, happiness comes from the attempting or completion of a task. A little bit of satisfaction. Or getting something. A new X, Y, or Z, whatever that might happen to be. But it's only temporary, and eventually that feeling goes away. Now, the Lord said that to take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of things that he possesses. In other words, it's not about getting stuff for yourself. Happiness comes and goes. But there is a thing called joy. Which means you can know deep down in your heart that even on your worst day you're going to heaven. And even on the best day that one of the worst people you know is having, they're going to hell. No matter how much they rub it in your face that they have got more X, Y, and Z than you do, they are still on the broad road that leads to destruction. What a lot of people don't realize is whether you or I or are successful or whether we fail miserably, as long as we are faithful to God, that's it. Success is not the measure of a Christian. Faithfulness is. Oh, I've got a big car, a big house, I've got lots of girlfriends, I've got lots of gadgets. I am successful. But when you look into their heart and you see the things that they're up to whenever the blinds are closed and the front doors shut, all you can see is the filth and the rot of sin. Real joy only comes from God. It's only to be had when you're serving God, wherever you are, with whatever you have. I remember the Lord saying, if you're faithful in the little, he'll trust you with a lot more. That's what he said. Comes from your personal walk with God. Your Bible reading, your studying, your praying. You're talking to people about the Lord. Even your church tent. I'm going to tell you, especially when you don't feel like it, and there's days I don't feel like it, even as the pastor. Your joy comes from standing up and speaking out when nobody else will, and saying what needs to be said. Treating people like the Bible says we should, knowing that we have a more noble life and purpose than those around about us. We're children of the King of Kings. Do things the way the Bible says, being faithful, being kind as much as you can, but also standing between those that you love and evil. Being faithful, truthful, having some integrity and some character. And as you go along life, pointing people to the foot of the cross. And maybe even when they get there, kneeling with them and praying with them and presenting them to the same God that saved you to save them. And whenever you do that, you see things differently. That you're that new creature that has new eyes and sees people in a new way. And you start to see them as immortal souls, precious in the sight of the God that created and saved them, and give them every opportunity. That doesn't mean you have to let them roll over you. Sometimes you might have to say, that's far enough. Just start treating people the way the Bible says. And opposing evil and sin and bad behavior in our own lives and in those we're responsible for. And sometimes it might seem like a thankless job, because all you get is the side eye from people because you're being a holy Jew. Just remember, the world, the flesh, and the devil might not love you for being faithful to God, but God does. The reason you're not loved, the reason they don't love you, is because they're not going to heaven. It's because they don't love the God that saved you. The God of the Bible is not the God of them that behave that way. But for us that are saved, and love the God of the Bible, and serve the God of the Bible as we go through our lives, heaven's our home. God is the friend that sticketh closer than a brother, our helper and our guide, our heavenly Father, our big brother, who will take any repentant soul that trusts Christ as their own personal Savior. There is a difference between us and them. For anybody that ever plays video games, especially the old Doom or Quake games, whenever we got those games, I don't know about you, John, if you ever played those games, the first thing I always did was gamer after my own heart, look out for the cheat codes. Everybody always looked for God mode. And you could be shot at with everything and the screen would just go white with explosions and your health bar never moved a bit until you were shooting back and you started to make a bit of space. That's what God offers. Those that love him, cheats, helps, living life in God mode. And that's for us. It's not for lost souls. It could be if they became saved souls. I've read the end of the Bible. We win. They lose. Everybody that put their faith in anything but Jesus Christ loses, and it's a sad state of affairs, but that's just the way, that's the way the man that made everything, and especially the rules that set it up. Nobody has to go there. Everybody can go to heaven, but he leaves it entirely up to us. And anybody that rejects it, rejects God at their own peril and at their own cost. God doesn't want it fall. They go round in circles like that all night, but that's just the way it is. Thank you for your good time, and God bless you. We'll close with a hymn out of the Black Book. We'll do number one. Number one in the Black Book is How Great Thou Art. If you're fit, we'll stand as we sing. And hymn number one in the Black Book. There we go.
My Savior God, to Thee, how great
again for some, but a time set aside for the reading in Jeremiah and for the reading in 1 Timothy as well. Please bless us, Lord, as we go our certain different ways, and put your good hand upon us, and don't be done with us, Lord. Guide us and direct us, and speak to us still. And please go before us, Lord, and see all those battles that you fought for the likes of Gideon, and even for Joshua and Moses and the children of Israel. Lord, we pray that you would still fight those battles in men's hearts and minds and give us a victory. You know all of our battles, Lord. Please, I pray, help us to remember to let you in and then to stand well back. Lord, we love you and thank you. Please be with our absent brethren and our brethren across the world. And we ask all this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Folks, God bless you. Shake hands. Fellowship for a bit. We are for this.